You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome in to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Pat Boyle sitting in for David Kaplan today. You can watch the show on Twitch. Find the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. The Chicago Cubs made news yesterday because Chris Bryant spoke, Pat. And when we look at baseball, we get the schedule yesterday. I was excited for the schedule, but it seems like every step forward we take with baseball, we get a step back because it looks like that many around the game of baseball are complaining about the testing protocols for COVID-19 as players show up to ballparks.
And you would think that, I want to say this is the easiest part of the equation, but this is something that you can at least control. And, you know, they have their own testing facility in Utah. It was under our belief that the players would be tested every other day and that the results would come back in a timely fashion. Not only are they not getting tested every day, as Chris alluded to yesterday when he addressed the media, look, some guys have gone 7 or 8 days without a test. Players aren't getting results back. And this is before games, before travel. So, and you know, MLB puts out another one of those, oops, I made a mistake, you know, press release. And you're tired of hearing it. We went through 3 months of they're bickering back and forth. Mostly, most of us thought the fault lies with the owners and MLB and Manfred. And the testing comes along, and week one, there's a bunch of snafus with it. And it makes you wonder if the schedule we received yesterday will even be put into play, because will we get to that start?
Yeah, that's a good point, and I think it's something that we want to get your opinion on at 312-332-3776, because, you know, I have two thoughts here. One, I didn't think this would be a problem with the sports leagues, because I thought that they would have their blank together enough to be able to test the people that need to go on the field and play. I didn't realize that they were not going to have their actual protocols set, ready to go. Like, I feel confident the NBA knows what they're doing in trying to test and the frequency of the test, getting the results back, and trying to keep people safe. The other line of thought that I have with this is, if I pay attention to the news, which I have, it's not shocking that different locations in different places are struggling to handle this testing process, unlike our state. The state of Illinois has done a good job of making it available, getting the results, and allowing you to find out whether or not you have COVID-19, or if you need a quarantine, or whatever the case may be. You could go do a Walgreens if you wanted to this morning and go get a test if you needed to. So part of me feels like the sports leagues would have a way to figure this out because they've got the money. They can do this. But then another part of me says, well, but if you look at Arizona, you look at Florida, you look at Texas and compare it to Illinois, different places, different spaces kind of have different ways about going about this. So maybe I shouldn't be shocked that Major League Baseball is not like the NBA and doesn't have the protocol set in place.
Well, the root of this issue is hub city bubble versus playing in everybody's home park, right? Now we've got 30 places that testing needs to be happening. And then that needs to be shipped off and results come back to those locations. So those are adding so many more variables to the equation, where the NBA, and we saw Malika Andrews yesterday, she's already been quarantined in the bubble for a week now. She's getting tested. Her camera man is getting tested every day. Her producers are getting tested, and they were kind of showing the process, and it looks, you know, very formulaic, looks like it's routine, but it's one spot. You can, the NBA can, if there's a problem in the procedure, seemingly they can be on top of it and rectify quickly. When you've got 30 different cities doing this, you're going to have some issues. And you look at some of those cities where they become hot spots. There were teams yesterday that had to cancel workouts.
Yeah, the Athletics, one of them. Many teams around baseball I shouldn't say many, a couple of teams around baseball canceling their workouts yesterday. Because, right, if you don't get the results of the test and you're tested and you show up, you can't then go work out with the rest of the team, because if it comes back that you have COVID-19, you now just infected the rest of the ball club. So you can't mess around with that. Now, Major League Baseball, like Pat said, released a statement yesterday saying that 98% of the samples taken from June 27th to July 3rd were reported and were sent back to the teams. They were just missing the 2%, and they point to the backup over the holiday weekend. Now, not to get too into the weeds on COVID-19 testing, I believe if you've paid attention to the testing numbers, you do see a pop in numbers a little bit, a rise on Tuesdays, because there is a backlog over the weekend. That is something that has taken place even in the state of Illinois or different states around the country when you're just talking about testing in general. So seeing this response from baseball doesn't necessarily surprise me, but I thought a sports league like Major League Baseball would find a way to get around that, especially since this is the most important time. You're getting off the ground to try and get this season going. You can't have that delay, that lag time between the test and the results coming back.
The July 4th weekend is not an excuse in my book to have these results being delayed and tests not being taken. If you are the laboratory in Utah that bids to handle the MLB's testing, you have to know. Think about it. Originally, July 1st was when MLB wanted to kick this whole thing off.
Yeah.
So from the get-go, when you were putting things into place, you should have realized that testing was needed to be up and running at a high rate and at an efficient rate the July 4th weekend. So I'm not buying that at all. It's baseball in its reactionary mode, never in a proactive mode.
Here's Chris Bryant yesterday talking to the media on Zoom.
I guess first I just want to come across as saying I don't want to be insensitive to the people who haven't been able to get tests or have been in situations like that. But as the country kind of gets access to more of those, I think, you know, it's appropriate to talk about our situation here. And, you know, what we agreed to was testing, you know, every other day. And we have had guys here that showed up on Sunday and hadn't gotten tested again, you know, 7 days later, you know, and then you don't get the results for 2 days either. So that's, you know, 9 days without knowing. And I think if we really want this to succeed, you know, we're going to have to figure that out, you know. And I've wanted to play this year because I felt that it would be safe and I would feel comfortable. But honestly, I don't really feel that way, which is why I'm trying to keep my distance from everybody and wear my mask and just so that we can get this thing going. And I think if we want it to happen, if we want it to go smoothly, because this is the easy part, really. I mean, when you get into the season and you're traveling and you're in an airplane, your hotel, you're getting room service, you know, guys are, you know, who knows what people are doing, especially on the other teams too. You know, you got to rely on everybody in this whole thing. And I think if we can't really nail the easy part, which is right now, and you know, just our players, you know, we got a big hill to climb.
Here's Chris Bryant yesterday on the complications the players have had with testing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I got tested on Tuesday, and the second one was, what's today? Say Monday? The second one was yesterday. And I know it sounds stupid to complain about that, and I'm not trying to be insensitive by any means, because there's a lot of people out there struggling and need tests, and you know, I generally want that to come across, but at the same time, like, you know, MLB created this lab and did all this stuff to, you know, be able to run a season. And, you know, like I said, I feel like this is one of the, I know there's going to be hiccups, you know, but you just can't hiccup with this, you know, because it could just be one day where it just ruins everything, you know? So we really got to be on top of this thing and, you know, hopefully we figure it out.
That's Chris Bryant yesterday talking to the Chicago media on Zoom from Wrigley Field. One more I want to play from Chris Bryant, Pat Boyle, Chris Buck, sing in for David Kaplan. Does he still consider it an if they will play this baseball season this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'd be foolish to say that, you know, it's not guaranteed that, you know, we're going to play or we're going to finish the season. I mean, I think everybody involved kind of knows that and is aware of that, and be foolish not to, because there's something out there that it's tough to control, but if we can do all that we can to control it in our environments, then it's a better chance. And I think, you know, we just have to do more and do what we agreed to and, you know, keep everybody safe. That's what we all want here.
So that's Chris Bryant yesterday at Wrigley Field. Is baseball doing what they need to do to keep the players safe?
No, not right now. I mean, week one in the books, and it was a fail from the testing standpoint.
A disaster. 312-332-3776. Eric in Elmwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Pat.
What's up?
I was just in the hospital for some minor stuff, but I had to get a minor surgery, and they are requiring to do COVID tests when you go in for a procedure. The coronavirus test was back in 45 minutes. They swabbed my nose, came back 45 minutes later to come and get me to go down to surgery and said I was negative. So I have no idea how the MLB is not on top of this. I personally think it's a ploy to make more players get concerned and drop out, and then, oh, look, we can't have a season. We don't have players. Now the owners got what they wanted anyway and are canceling the season. So I have no idea what the MLB is doing, 3-day turnaround for a billion-dollar organization. It's ridiculous. Like I said, 45 minutes to get test results back.
Thanks for the call, Eric. We appreciate it.
Maybe a little different when you're in a hospital and you're getting tested before a procedure. I heard Mark Silverman talk about it. He's been tested, you know, a few times. Yeah. Obviously, he's going through chemotherapy, and it's the reaction time from the testing. The results are almost immediate, like the caller just said, 45 right. minutes. I don't think we can expect that, you know, at guaranteed rate and at Wrigley Field, but we can certainly expect more than one test over 7 or 8 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt in River North, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, fellas. Here's the thing. I mean, Freddie Freeman is really, really sick. And if you read his wife's tweet, he never gets sick. And this has driven him to his knees. Nick Markakis talked to him on the phone, and he dropped out. What chances do the Braves have without Freddie Freeman? I hope they cancel the season because it's going to hurt baseball if they play. It's going to be so watered down, and guys are going to be getting sick in and out of the lineups. It's going to be a bad product. And what's it going to take, someone to die for them to see that? Because what happens if Freddie Freeman can't play again?
Yeah, I mean, that would be terrible. And thank you for the call, Matt. I kind of disagree, though, on the idea that this is going to be terrible baseball. I'm looking forward to the baseball that's going to be played in 60 games in a regular season. I think it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
I think we're all looking forward to live sports. That's why, you know, you're watching things on the weekends that you've never watched before.
Do you think it's going to be watered down?
I wouldn't say watered down. I would say it's probably not going to be the best baseball to start. It's not going to be the best basketball to start. And it's not going to be the best hockey to start. Understandably, they've been off for 4.5 months.
It sounds like Chris Bryant wants to be with the Cubs long term. We'll hear from Bryant next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Chris Bryant had a lot to say yesterday. We were talking earlier about his opinion on the testing protocol from Major League Baseball, how they dropped the ball on this one. He also talked about his future with the Chicago Cubs. And I think it's interesting and a good conversation to have because, Chris Bryant, the clock is ticking on his time here with the Chicago Cubs unless he gets a new deal. And whether or not the Cubs should offer Chris Bryant a new deal, or if things go south in this short season, could Chris Bryant be one of those players the Cubs look to deal to get something back at some point?
Look, I think it's going to be very hard to move players at this trade deadline in this particular circumstance and the 60-game schedule and in a pandemic. I don't think that will happen. I think that, you know, everybody talks about what Ricketts said and how, you know, right now they're cash-strapped. I think every team is. Some maybe more than others, maybe because of the way the Cubs have leveraged things with the hotel and the rooftops and the restaurants and whatnot, that they're in a worse spot. But I also think they're going to be the type of club that gets back to where they need to be faster than other clubs. So I still think there is a chance that they can re-sign Chris Bryant. But the money that they offered KB a couple years ago, and I talked to Cap about this yesterday, and he still swears by it, even though some folks say that the deal was never offered. He'll never see the money or hear the money again that the Cubs offered him. Those days of whatever it was, 250 or however many millions they offered him, he's not going to see that from the Cubs because of where we're at right now economically in baseball, specifically where the Cubs are at economically.
You know, when we look at the whole picture, right, Tom Ricketts, it's not just this offseason where money and a budget for the baseball operations has been put in question. We've talked about it now for consecutive years in the offseason. Remember back to last offseason, Tom Ricketts saying to the media that there is no baseball budget left. You deal with what you have. And going forward, the Cubs are in a tight spot because you have Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras. All those, and Rizzo at some point will probably want new paper too.
Absolutely.
So when you look at the core of this lineup, where are you allocating future dollars to? Is it a Chris Bryant? Is it a Javi Baez? Is it your catcher in Wilson Contreras who's unbelievable? Is it someone like Anthony Rizzo who you hope to be like the next Mr. Cub type guy who could be here for the full duration of his career, you know, at first base? You know, and that's where you kind of see this thing where we don't know if Chris Bryant wants to be here. And he talked about it yesterday on his contract status. Here's Chris Bryant yesterday at Wrigley Field.
I've always had the same answer. I'm always open to hearing anything and everything, you know, but if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, I mean, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at. I love this organization. I love everybody a part of it. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm up to hearing what they have to say, but there's a lot more other worries in my life and the world right now. So I feel like it's a little insensitive to be talking about big dollars and stuff like that when people are losing their jobs and their lives and, you know, stuff like that. So never been the type to be super selfish and want it, you know, want the attention on me to, you know, sign a contract or whatever. You know, I think there's bigger problems right now.
So that's Chris Bryant yesterday. Thoughtful. It's great that he likes being here. He loves playing with the teammates that he has. He likes the front office here in Chicago. You know, the one thing that I always view with Chris Bryant is usually the noise that comes from the wake of the player leading the way is it's not coming from him specifically. It's coming from other factors, right? Scott Boras is his agent.
Mm-hmm.
Is Scott Boras going to be okay with him just taking that stance? Is that the way Scott Boras approaches the Cubs when talking about a contract situation? No. He does the dirty work as far as the PR conversation, the back and forth, what Chris Bryant's worth. You know, it's the stuff around Chris Bryant. He seems like a genuine guy who is happy to be here. But are there other factors that play into this that may make that relationship difficult at some point?
I was impressed with KB yesterday big time, and he's already high in my book. The way he handled all the topics and talking about testing and being sensitive to those who may not be able to get tested, and then talking about this mega deal that he'll eventually get, realizing that yeah. Unemployment is at its highest and that people are losing their jobs and taking pay cuts left and right. So I was really impressed. What you heard from Chris yesterday is contradictory to what the Scott Boras philosophy is. But I also think Boras may have to tweak that philosophy post-pandemic. Baseball contracts have always gotten bigger. Just when you thought they weren't, they always find a way to get bigger. Bryce Harper, it gets bigger. I don't know if it's going to get bigger anymore. It's certainly going to flatten off a bit, if not take a couple steps down. Don't you think it has to?
I mean, and especially, you know, depending on how much baseball we get, imagine if they get 20 games in and half the league can't finish out the seasons because of COVID-19, more dollars will be eliminated from the pocketbooks of the owners. Do you think that's going to work out for players in future free agent summers or off seasons? No, that's not going to be the case. Less money for the sport, thus it's going to hurt those players and hurt those $300 million contracts. It's not going to be there for the Chris Bryant, the Mookie Betts, for Javi Baez even. You know, like, it's not going to be the case. Danny Zimmerman, huge Cub fan. Danny, if we bring you into the conversation here, do you think that this is, like, it's great that Chris Bryant has this, the feelings that he has about the ball club, this city. He's so thoughtful. But is he really the one steering the ship? Do you think that it's Boris that will drive this and whatever takes place with Bryant going forward with the Cubs?
If you're asking me if it's Chris Bryant or Scott Boris steering the ship, I think it's Chris Bryant. Unfortunately, I don't think Chris Bryant's going to have the final say. I think that's going to come down to Tom Ricketts and Theo Epstein, and unfortunately, the money's just not going to be there to make it work. But I feel like at this point, Chris Bryant's asserted himself and his personality at this point well enough that he's telling Scott Boris, hey, you work for me. I think he's one of the rare Scott Boris clients that's doing that.
I like that. If he is able to stand up to someone like Scott Boris and to get what he wants out of his career, I like that. And Pat, you said it well, and Danny said it as well. Chris Bryant is becoming a leader in front of our eyes. You know, his play, MVP, great player, rookie of the year, all that was there. But like, he is turning into one of those voices you want to hear speak about any matter around baseball. Like, I enjoy listening to him talk.
I do too. To me, it's on the Cubs, it's Jason Hayward and it's Chris Bryant. On the South Side, it's Lucas Giolito. Love to hear him on any topic. And I'll say this, and I'll put from the Blackhawks perspective, Patrick Kane has become, to me, the leader in the clubhouse as far as being able to talk on any topic. I've been impressed with what I've seen and heard from Patrick Kane in the last several years.
The other player for the White Sox, Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson is a leader.
Refreshing, too.
Let's go to John in Rolling Meadows. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, I think that the Cubs want Baez to be the face of this club down the road. I'm sure they're going to work with Anthony, too. But I think Baez will be their number one person on their list as far as working something out when they can. Bryant, I think Bryant's probably go somewhere else. But you know what? The free agents will have to take what they can get. Maybe down the road they can work an extension out with that team that they've gone to. But at first, I'm sure they're all going to take a huge pay cut. But down the road, they'll get what they want.
Thanks for the call, John. We appreciate it. Pat, yesterday the schedules came out in Major League Baseball. Did you notice anything interesting with the Cubs and the White Sox in the schedule release yesterday?
So from the Cubs' perspective, they play 14 of their 20 games versus the Cardinals and Brewers at Wrigley Field. I thought that was a great draw. 14 of 20 against the Cards and Brewers are at Wrigley Field. Now, we know home field advantage isn't going to be what it normally is. Of their 30 road games in the NL Central, 14 of 20 are at Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
Interesting.
So there's, you know, you look at it, at one point the Cubs play 17 straight days to start this season.
Yeah.
Basically, it's what there's like, what, 6 to 8 off days for these teams? You over know, 68 days?
A couple of things that jump out. Yeah, and you know, kind of comparing that to a normal season, it seems about right with the amount of off days. I know for the Cubs, something that if you're a Cub fan, you want to see this team get to the playoffs, a stretch that might be important to you. August 7th to the 23rd. They have two off days in that stretch, but listen to the teams that they play. They're at St. Louis for 3 games, at Cleveland for 2, home for Milwaukee, home for the Cardinals, home for the White Sox.
That's tough.
15 games, August 7th to the 23rd. If the Cubs are going to make the playoffs, you have to be successful in that stretch, right? For the White Sox, something that I point out is the final 14 games are against good teams. You have 4 against the Twins. You're on the road against the Reds, on the road against the Indians, and then the three with the Cubs to end the schedule. So, you know, the White Sox make some hay early, get ahead of the schedule, because it's going to be tough at the end. And you might say, okay, well, the Indians might be trading off players if they get to a point if they're not competitive. I think right now the Cleveland Indians, they're going to be a good ball club. The Reds, they're going to be a good ball club. So I think those two stretches specifically will have a lot to do with whether or not we get two teams in this summer getting into the playoffs.
And I love that the Cubs and Sox are playing each other to end this 60-game schedule, guaranteed rate. Because usually you're going to play a division foe. That's usually the way they like to set it up, seeing as there's probably a race going on and you want to be able to watch that game and not have to scoreboard watch in three different spots. So we're probably going to have to scoreboard watch for the Cubs and the White Sox that last three games on the South side. But if both teams are both in contention, can you imagine the excitement in this town for Cubs Sox to end this abbreviated season?
Not only that, that's also a college football and NFL weekend. That final weekend, September 25th, 26th, 27th. So factor that in as well. I mean, you get all the football all weekend. Cubs Sox to finish the regular season. It's outstanding. Chris Black, Pat Boyle sitting in for David Kaplan today. Jesse Rogers was at Wrigley Field yesterday. He'll join us next.
You're listening to Cabin Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap'n Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap'n Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
Last night on ESPN 1000 at 6 p.m., the baseball show had its first episode. Jonathan Hood with Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, Sox, and Major League Baseball. It's hosted by Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 6. The podcast will be available on our app daily as well. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. The baseball show, 6 p.m. every night, right here on ESPN 1000. Chris Bleck and Pat Boyle sitting in for David Kaplan today here on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. And we get a chance to go to the Corona Hotline and we get to talk with Jesse Rogers, Pat, because there's a lot going on at Wrigley Field yesterday. So, Jesse, as we bring you into the conversation, what did you think of Chris Bryant and everything that he talked about yesterday to you guys in the media?
Well, it's pretty par for the course for Brian. He has been brutally honest these last couple of years, or, you know, a lot in spring training with him. He doesn't always speak out like that maybe during the season, but I feel like the last couple of spring trainings, especially whether it be about himself, the league, you know, he was the player rep until the middle of this pandemic. Then he handed things off to Ian Happ. He called the labor stuff a mess, and it's still a mess. But, you know, I think that he's echoing what a lot of players are echoing. Like, we agreed to this thing where you'll test us every other day, and already guys have gone a full week without a test. So maybe somebody else would have said it yesterday, but it was Chris Bryant's time up in the Zoom with reporters, and he spoke his mind. And obviously a guy like him drives the conversation. Now, he wasn't the only one speaking out yesterday. Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, other teams, the Oakland A's GM as well. But here was a player. You know, Sean Doolittle, obviously, has been outspoken. Here was a Cub player, a star player, really coming down in the league. And then the league puts out a statement hours later. I liked what the league did. They're trying to calm some fears, and hopefully they get past these hiccups. But as Brian said, testing you can't have hiccups in the testing. We've got to get that locked down. We can have hiccups other places, but not in the testing. So let's see if they get into a routine here of every other day. And the last thought is, man, the league should have realized that a July 4th weekend to start up baseball may have been problematic for people, for testers that want to be with their families and stuff. Like, something as simple and logistic as that was a problem, apparently, because they even mentioned the July 4th weekend in the press release yesterday. So let's see if things smooth down.
So do you blame the lab in Utah? Do you blame MLB for hooking their wagon to them? And where's your confidence level that they'll rectify this situation?
Yeah, I don't know who to blame exactly. Obviously, like I said, they didn't have this routine that they're getting in nailed down from the beginning, Pat, and they needed to, because this is important. This is health, right? So again, was it because people weren't available at the testing sites in camps, or the lab?
because of the holiday weekend. I don't know. But I do think they'll get better. Yes, I do think they'll get better. Because if they don't, the alternative is shutting down. And the league is obviously not wanting to do that unless they're forced to do that. So I do think they'll get into that routine of being tested every other day. If they don't, Pat, it's going to blow up, because that's the big part of the agreement, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Testing every other day and getting the results fairly quickly. So we'll find out in the coming days. Now, the Cubs were tested Sunday, so they should be tested today if their routine is kicking in.
Jesse Rogers from ESPN joining Chris Black and Pat Boyle here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So, Jesse, if you had to place a percentage on it, how likely is it that opening day goes off with no issues as we kind of prepare for this baseball season?
Opening day for all 30 teams as we prepare. Well, I'd say it's 50-50. And that's sort of the thing I've been saying to anybody that asks. I mean, I just don't know. It's just kind of like the country, right? One day we think we're okay, deaths are down, but cases are up. And the next day you think things are terrible. I don't know. I mean, it's daily with baseball as well. It seemed like the agreement looked like a good one in terms of health and protocols. Then already we have a major hiccup and teams are canceling workouts. I mean, that's a big thing when you cancel a workout in a 3-week spring training. So I'm just going to put it at 50-50. I don't know if baseball itself will cause any problems to hold them back, like, you know, lack of testing or whatnot, or the country will hold back. You know, I keep asking this to people in the know, and they don't know the answer. What kind of chaos can go on around the game for it to continue? In other words, in the hot spots of Texas, Phoenix, Florida, and in 2 weeks, hot spots elsewhere, does it matter? Can baseball play through all that if hospitalizations are going up? And no one knows the answer. So that's why I have to land on 50-50, because there's so many unknowns in this scenario.
Jesse Rogers on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Jesse, KB was also talking about contract extension, at least asked about it yesterday. I thought he was excellent on pretty much every topic that you guys covered with him. And Danny and Chris brought up an interesting point. Look, post-pandemic, the dollar figures that we saw before COVID-19 are going to be different. How different they are, we'll find out. Scott Boras is of the camp that numbers always go up. They always get bigger. Chris seemed yesterday like he was resolved to the fact that things aren't going to be that way, that you may have to have a post-pandemic contract extension that doesn't look like what we saw with Bryce Harper and others before. But who's driving the boat? Is it ultimately Chris, or do you think Scott is going to hang in there for the very last buck he can get?
That is really the million-dollar question whenever it comes to Chris Bryant, because he is such his own man. But we know how Scott Boras does drive that bus when it comes to the negotiations. I've talked to many agents, and they are crossing their fingers. There won't be a bloodbath 2 years from now, which is when Chris Bryant, of course, is a free agent. This coming offseason, you know, Mookie Betts, man, he may have to just sign that one-year deal and wait for revenues to pick back up. I mean, and this is what agents say, Pat. The owners will take advantage of this pandemic. Yes, they're losing money. They're going to absolutely take advantage of it in their own way. Whether they have the money or not, they're going to say they don't. And prices are going to come down. So, look, Chris Bryant was asked straight out. The fact that you have a newborn, the fact that you went, you know, baseball's gone through this pandemic, the country's gone through this pandemic, has that changed your thinking about a contract extension? And he said yes. He said yes. I made sure I listened back to it several times. You guys probably could find the audio if you don't have it already. He said yes. So right off the bat, things have changed for Chris Bryant, if we're to believe him, than where he was at 3 months ago, right? Mm-hmm. 4 months ago. So we'll see how this all plays out. And actually, Jed Hoyer is going to talk to reporters today. And I think it's one of the questions I'm going to ask him. And Bryant's right about, you know, he said several times it's insensitive to talk about some of this stuff, but And to Jed, I think the question is, look, the timing might not be right, but I think it's a good question. Are you going to reengage with all these guys because you're in a new normal now, right? Things have changed. Are you going to reengage with them in a new way based on things they've said to you, based on what you believe, whatever the case may be? Because I think all of this is uncharted territory, obviously, and it's all going to sort of evolve over time here. And it may not have, we may not know the result of all this until this offseason or next offseason, but I think it's all on the table, Pat. What was true 4 months ago may not be true now.
Jesse, when we look at the schedule that was released yesterday, does anything stand out to you?
Well, I like others, I found out a couple weeks ago that they were not going to split up the 10 games into five-game series. I'm not sure why they have this unbalanced 7 at home against the Brewers and Cardinals and only 3 on the road against those teams. Although, if you're a Cub fan, you love it. Though, what's home field advantage like these days anyway? So, it's a little strange that they're not playing 5-5, right? You would just assume they would have they were doing that. So that stood out to me. Other than that, nothing special in terms of where they go. I think I saw it tweeted out. The Cubs have the second least travel in the entire league behind Milwaukee in terms of where they go. The furthest, I think, is Kansas City, right? I think it's Kansas City. Cincinnati easy, St. Louis easy. I don't think they're going to bust anywhere but Milwaukee, though. That's just my gut. I think within a road trip, it's possible. I don't know. I can't remember if they go like from, I don't know, Cleveland to Detroit or something. But I don't think they're going to bust much, just to Milwaukee, really. Other than that, it's a really easy travel schedule. Like I said, second least miles traveled by the end of this thing for the Chicago Cubs.
Jesse, what's it been like for you guys just in the first week of this this new relationship that the media has with MLB and the Cubs, and you're dealing with COVID-19? What has it been like for you guys, and how secure has it been?
Yeah, no, it's been pretty secure. I mean, it was interesting. I took the L to the park yesterday. I mean, it does feel like a ghost town on the train around Wrigley Field. You know, there's a few fans around, not much though. Now it's been pretty hot, so I guess people don't want to be standing outside. A few ball hawks, but it's really dead. You know, it's really dead. Once I got there, I got my press credential. You walk in, a health, advocate, whatever you want to call them, asked me about 3 or 4 questions. Have I had shortness of breath lately? I said only walking down from the train, but maybe I shouldn't be making jokes. Have I left the country the last 30 days? Questions like that. Have I felt sick lately? They do take a quick temperature check. Mine was 98 degrees on the dot. Anything over 100.4 and I'm sent home. And then once you get upstairs, it's a redone press box, so it's a little nicer. A little more distance between me and my colleagues, plexiglass in between everybody, including like Pat and Ron and Len and JD. There's plexiglass between their areas for broadcasting. And it feels safe. The Zoom interviews are we're getting used to them. It's still weird though. So every day Ross will get on one middle of the day, usually before practice. Then during or after practice, we get a player or two. Like I said, I think Jed's going to talk today as well to reporters. So it's a little informal, obviously, with those interviews. But, you know, we got a lot out of Chris Bryant. There's no one-on-one interviews. And so it's really hard to do like a feature. If there's a feature to be done, like 7 reporters are going to do the same feature.
Right. So that was my question. So like,
Absolutely. Because
you guys aren't going to be in the clubhouse and able to have those off the record conversations, are you guys going to turn to texting more? Like whether it's texting the ball player directly or a representative of their camp or something like that to kind of get some inside information if you're trying to get something that the rest aren't going to get on a Zoom?
Yeah, definitely. Those relationships are important. The difference is for 3.5 months, these guys were completely available, and I would text often during the labor negotiations. Now they're at camp all day. You know, some of them have their families here. They're into their playing routine, so they're not just waiting around for a Jesse Rogers text and doing an interview outside the norm. So it's a little bit harder now to get a hold of guys because they're concentrating on getting ready and stuff. But the answer to the question is yes, and definitely, obviously, their agents are available and stuff like that. And so, yes, I will probably end up doing some features where I'm talking to guys outside those Zooms. But I don't think it's going to be obviously as easy and plentiful as it used to be.
Thank you, Jesse. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, boys, have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN Cubs reporter. Follow him on Twitter, Jesse Rogers, ESPN. Coming up next, Patrick Mahomes breaks the bank. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Sitting in for David Kaplan here on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Yesterday, Adam Schefter for ESPN reporting Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, signs a 10-year extension worth $450 million that could be a total worth of $503 million if certain incentives are met. It includes a $140 million injury guarantee and a no trade clause, the sources say. This will keep Patrick Mahomes with the Kansas City Chiefs through the year 2031. So he's got an MVP under his belt. He won the Super Bowl last year, the Super Bowl MVP. And the Kansas City Chiefs heading into this season, Pat, not only do they have their quarterback locked in for the next 10 plus years, they also have one of the most talented rosters in all the National Football League looking to defend their championship.
And that's because next year Mahomes only makes $2.8 million. So they've got another year to enjoy that rookie contract that he's still on. He'll make almost $25 million in 2021. But it was just so, you know, the Bears don't sign Trubisky to pick up the fifth-year option, and Mahomes signs the richest contract in sports history.
I just want to get this down on the record that it was Pat Boyle that went 5 seconds into the Mahomes conversation to bring up the Mitch Trubisky.
Well, who didn't?
Listen, you know my role on this show here on Cap and Company. It's immediately the haters come out with their claws. They come yelling at me because Mitch Trubisky this, that, Trubisky truthers, right? They're all coming for me because Mitch is going to be great. The reality of it is, you're right, Pat. When we look at this and in hindsight, what we will say is Patrick Mahomes probably on the road to being one of the all-time greats. And the Bears completely blew it. And that's it. Now, you can go into the pre-draft stuff because that comes up a lot. And, you know, you and I have both worked with Cap long enough that he will go to the response of, well, so-and-so before the draft said Mitch Trubisky should be this. Mm-hmm. The number two pick, the number one pick, the top quarterback on the board. The problem with all of that is it's all wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't get bonus points because you suggested someone was going to be good and they turn out to not be good. You know what you get bonus points for? Is if you, at the time, said Deshaun Watson's going to be really good. If Mahomes is going to be really good, which not many people said. But what's taken place is over the last 2 years, we've seen what this guy has been able to do, and it hurts as Bears fans. It just does. There's no other way to look at it.
The thing that stings is, it's hard to find a franchise quarterback, case in point, the Chicago Bears. But when you see a team land a guy, go up and get a guy like Kansas City did, and then make this long commitment to him, and you're in the cycle of always trying to find. Like, we don't know if Mitchell, you know, answer the bell and beat out Nick Foles. I'm sure many have their doubts. Okay, maybe there is a X percent chance that that happens. Maybe Nick Foles has something left in the tank, and maybe he can stay healthy for 60. The bottom line is, however you try to characterize this topic and conversation, the Bears don't have their long-term answer. They're still in search mode. And it's like a jealous thing when you watch, you know, our neighbors to the north who've basically done it with two quarterbacks over the last 25 years, more than 25 years, and, you know, the Bears are still in this constant revolving door of mediocre play to below average play at the most important position in sports.
Let's talk about this. Why are the Bears always having an issue trying to find that quarterback for the future? Why is it such a struggle? Pat Boyle, Chris Black, we'll talk about it with you in 2 minutes.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.